بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, your brothers and sisters, respected travelers, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. MashaAllah, it's a very busy day today, so I'll just ask the brothers, especially to, if you can move forward, inshallah, and fill in as many gaps as possible, as well as to the left of the prayer hall, because usually, mashallah, everyone likes going to the right, so the left is often neglected, and your salah will be equally valid, inshallah, so please feel free to move over to the left of the hall as well. Now, of course, mashallah, the reason why there's so many cheerful faces here today is because today is a holiday. Good Friday, one of the major holidays in the Christian faith. And this is the day when Christians celebrate what they believe was the crucifixion of Isa alayhi salam, of Jesus, the Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, on the cross. We believe what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an, which is وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ, that they did neither kill him nor crucify him, but they were deluded by resemblance. And this is what is our belief regarding this matter. The fact of the matter though is that there were people who had plotted to kill the Prophet Isa alayhi salam, and indeed they thought that they had done that. Now this was not the first time that there was a plot and an attempt to kill, to murder, to assassinate a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal. Fir'aun had similar intentions regarding the Prophet Musa alayhi salam. There is a story of three messengers in Surah Yasin, and the people of that locality who had disbelieved in these messengers had also threatened to kill them as well. And of course, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we know that the mushrikun, the disbelievers in the city of Mecca, had also wanted to and had attempted to assassinate him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to start the hijrah at the time, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saved due to the blessing and the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us that these were not the only instances, right? He tells us about past nations who committed this serious crime of assassinating or killing a messenger or a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ وَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. In another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَقْتُلُونَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقِّ, that they were covered with humiliation and misery. They drew on themselves the wrath of Allah. Why? This because they went on rejecting the signs of Allah and slaying His messengers without just cause. ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ, this because they rebelled and went on transgressing. In each of these cases, in each of the cases where prophets of Allah were harassed, were mocked, were bothered by people, and were killed, there was hatred. There was hatred for the message that they had brought, which was the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and the acceptance of themselves as the messengers and prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there was hatred and non-acceptance of the message and of the messenger. And the messengers and the believers who were with them were threatened, right, with death. And we know the story of course, the magicians, right, of Fir'aun, that when they disobeyed Fir'aun, he threatened them, right? He threatened that he would, you know, harm them and he would kill them. And the believers have, over time, right? In each instance, the believers have been mocked, they have been made fun of, they have been harassed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the believers, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la tattakhidhu alladhina attakhadhu deenakum huzuwan wa la'iban min alladhina utul kitaba min qablikum wal kuffara awliya. That all you who believe, take not as your close friends, your protectors, those who take your religion for a mockery or some sort of play or sport, whether they are among those who receive the scriptures before you or among those who reject faith, but fear Allah. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you have faith. Similarly, today we find that there are many Muslims in the world, mashallah. Yet, Islam is often portrayed as a problem. Muslims are seen as being incompatible with society, out of place. And we see different forms of expression of that hate, of that dislike, of that contempt. To be clear though, the majority of the people in this city, alhamdulillah, and in this country appear to be moderate, don't appear to be hateful. They're in the middle. This is my estimation, that they're in the middle, they have an open mind, they are willing to be fair, and many don't know much about Islam. Right? You'll find people, right, who are living in various cities, right here in our community as well, who know nothing about Islam, who have never met a Muslim before, right? Who have only heard about Islam through the media. Then we have a group of haters. A group of haters who try to jump at every opportunity to stir the pot, right? Cause some sort of controversy, create some issue, you know, steal some headlines, anything to attack Islam, or anything to attack the Muslim community and portray us in a negative light. And this comes, you know, through various forms in different ways. So it may be an action of an individual from amongst us, from the Muslim community, whether it's in Canada or abroad. And this action of this one particular person is portrayed as the standard of our faith and our community. For example, we had a very infamous, whatever you want to use the term, trial here in the city of Kingston. And a lot of questions were posed regarding Islam and Muslims and how we treat our children and what goes on in our households and so on and so forth. And you know, subhanAllah, you have the action of one person or a few people, and it's framed as if this is the standard, like I said. So I had the opportunity to try to answer some of those questions, alhamdulillah. And one of the questions that I got, right, in a live TV interview was this, the first question. Thank you very much for joining us, sir. We've got to start, you know, my first question, honor killings, domestic abuse, these things, are they more prevalent in Islamic families that have daughters and sons raised in Western culture? La ilaha illallah. Right? How many of these cases do we come across? Right? We know the facts. Yet, the question suggests, right, implies that this is a huge problem in every single household in the Muslim community and Muslims living in the West is having these type of issues. So this is the type of negative spotlight and attention that we were getting. And alhamdulillah, our communities worked hard to address these issues. And I hope that it has made a difference, inshallah. Recently, a controversy was created, and I really mean created, over a particular book which was found in a Muslim bookstore in Toronto. Now the book has been authored by a famous scholar of Islam in the Indian subcontinent. And the headlines, right, and this is a top story, right? So the headlines say that this book reportedly encourages the abuse of women, right? So it's everywhere, right? This huge headline. Most important thing that's happening in the country. So the first question is that comes to mind is, first of all, how many people have actually read the book, right? How many reporters that wrote the story actually have bought and read the book cover to cover, right? The book, to set the facts straight, was authored in the early 1900s. Early 1900s. And to make a fair comparison and criticism, we must be aware of the context and the situation it was authored in. And the situation at the time, even in Canada, was very different than what we are seeing today. So I'm getting a signal again. If brothers can move forward, inshallah, maybe squeeze together, fill in some of the gaps. Because we have a good crowd here, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. Jazakumullah khairan. So we must be aware of the situation at the time, even in this country. Right? This book that we are talking about is from a time before the time when women got the right to vote in this country. The right to work freely in this country. To get into professional colleges and to own full property rights. And if you study Canadian history, and I see many young faces, and I'm sure you have, if you remember your history lesson, guys, right? 1929, right, was when women were actually declared to be persons. Legally, they were considered to be persons for the first time in 1929 in Canada, right? This is the type of context and circumstances that we're talking about, right? So this is around the same time that this book was authored. And considering what society was like at the time and the type of audience it was written for, right? Primarily in India, and Pakistan wasn't there at that time, in India. The book, in some ways, if you read it, look at it properly from cover to cover, is actually quite a progressive document. And it even contains things which would be considered progressive today in certain cultures. So of course, it contains the offending material on the treatment of women, which is considered to be inappropriate for our society today. But that comes after over 100 pages into the book. And of course, the biased reporting overlooked the many positive teachings in the book that came before that. Any text of the old times can be attacked after the times and circumstances and the context has changed. As an example, I don't mean to pick on different books, but as an example, one much popular text, much popular than this book, that can be found in many bookstores, right, that can be seen to portray women in a much worse light than this book, is the Bible. And in fact, there's reportedly a growing trend in some very conservative churches in the United States called Christian domestic discipline. And I'm not making this up, right? You can find an entire website devoted on, you know, on having a guide on how literally someone, a husband, can beat and lash his wife. So criticism is certainly unfair and biased in this case, right? If you're going to compare, if you're going to have criticism, let's have balance and fair criticism. And why was it unfair and why was it biased? Because it was originating from those who want to spread hate against Muslims. Those who want to create problems for the Muslim community. And this is just one example, right? So every once in a while we'll come across a controversy, unnecessary, completely, right, about the hijab. And girls playing soccer, for example, with the hijab. And you see this in Quebec from time to time, right? Controversy surrounding the niqab and in citizenship ceremonies. And lately, even halal meat and the labeling of halal meat in Quebec. That, oh, halal meat should be labeled as halal because there are people who don't want to eat halal meat, right? So what does all of this do? It creates unnecessary animosity, fosters hatred, which unfortunately in some cases leads to actions of hate. In January, we had an incident, unfortunately, where a sister in our community shopping at Food Basics in Frontenac Mall had a woman who tried to pull her hijab off. Kingston police are investigating it, and still now, currently investigating it as a hate crime, and are looking for the individual and her companion, and they have publicized this on their website, on Facebook, and in other places as well. Now, this is very, very unfortunate because, alhamdulillah, I can say, you know, after being here for almost 2 years and after speaking to many of our elders and brothers and sisters who have been here for much longer than I have, that this is a great city. And people are generally very friendly and very open. But even if it is a minority, we must recognize that hate does exist. And there are those who want to spread it. Recently, another incident. A sister was at a hockey game in which her son was playing. And she was given a booklet that was preaching Christianity to Muslims. And it wasn't just preaching Christianity, but rather it was in the form of a comic strip, a little booklet, which was demeaning, which was mischaracterizing the teachings of Islam and mocking Islam, mocking the Quran, and mocking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-A'yadu billah. As mentioned earlier, this is nothing new for Muslims. This is nothing new for the believers. And unfortunately, these things have happened with every single ummah and every single prophet. But the question is, what do we do about it? We could do nothing. We could do absolutely nothing and hope that it goes away. But this will be wishful thinking on our part, right? By burying our heads in the sand, right? The reality doesn't change. The perception changes for us because we don't see or hear anything, right? But the reality is the same, right? So you know, you have young children, and sometimes, you know, they're scared of something or they don't want to see something, right? They just turn away and plug their ears, right? And think that, you know, that's it. If they've done that, they don't have to deal with it anymore, right? But we know that if there is real danger there, right? If there exists a real danger, it's not going to go away by simply closing our eyes and plugging our ears and pretending that it's not there. So that's not going to do any good. And unfortunately, this has been a problem with us in the past, that we'll come across issues. Things will come up, and we think, okay, well, you know what? There's not much I can do. Whatever, it's just a minority, it'll go away, shush, and then we just go on with our lives. So that's wishful thinking, that's not going to get us anywhere. So something must be done, and we have a communal responsibility, and to some extent, an individual responsibility as well. But what we don't want to do is we don't want to respond with ignorance. Now, if the hall is filled up, then there are some mats put out outside in the hall as well. So if the brothers find no space here, you can take a seat there as well, inshallah. So something must be done, and we have a responsibility, a communal responsibility in some ways, an individual responsibility as well. What we don't want to do is respond with ignorance. So an ignorant response would be, you know, to get all pumped up, you know, go out and start having protests, start boycotting the store perhaps where the sister had the incident, start, you know, I don't know, attacking churches and threaten people with violence. And the reason I bring this up is not because I expect that anyone would do that from here who's listening, but because we see these types of things happen, unfortunately, in the Muslim world many times. And that is one of the criticisms, right, that our community gets. That, you know, how come we have all these wackos who go wild every time something happens? Right, so that would be an ignorant response. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to be fair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to be just, even with those who we may have enmity towards. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُنُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. That all you who believe, stand out firmly for Allah as witnesses to fair dealing. So whatever dealing you have, dealing doesn't necessarily mean that when you go deal for a car or you buy something on Kijiji or Craigslist, right? Dealing doesn't necessarily refer to that. Any type of interaction, right? Any type of interaction, any dealing you have with anyone, be just. And let not the hatred of others, to you make you swerve to wrong and depart from justice. Right? So if you're upset about something, right? If you're angry about something, and perhaps rightfully so, right? You still can't be unjust, right? You still have to be fair. You still have to be just. You know, you can't go and, for example, damage, you know, the property of others, take the lives of people who have had absolutely nothing to do with a particular incident. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى. Be just. That is next to piety and fear Allah. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. For Allah is well acquainted with all that you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also instructed the believers when they were trying, you know, to go to Masjid al-Haram at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? And the disbelievers didn't allow them to do so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ أَنْ صَدُّوكُمْ عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ أَنْ تَعْتَدُوا. And let not the hatred of some people in once shutting you out of the sacred mosque lead you to transgression and hostility on your part. Right? So even, right, if something unjust is being done, right, as we see in that instance, our response still has to be measured. Our response still has to be legal. Our response still has to be permissible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that if we want to repel evil or something which is wrong or something which is incorrect, He says, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ السَّيِّئَةِ نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَصِفُونَ. That repel evil with that which is best, we are well acquainted with the things they say. Right? So if people are saying things which are incorrect, if people are slandering our faith and the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well acquainted with whatever is being said and whatever is being done. Our responsibility is to repel that evil, to counter it with that which is best, in the best of ways. So what to do? What should we do then, practically? So there are a few things. First of all, we've got to start from ourselves. I have to start from myself. And each one of us has to start with ourselves. Many times what we end up doing is we give ammunition to people who want to hate, who are looking for even the smallest of excuses, right? We give them ammunition through our own misdeeds and through our own ignorance of true Islamic teachings. And what do we end up doing? We end up reinforcing stereotypes, right? We end up reinforcing stereotypes, and people can say that, hey, see, that's what we said, that's how Muslims are like, right? Honor-based violence, cases of domestic violence, cases of, you know, spousal abuse. I mean, subhanAllah, rare cases, but very, like, they really stand out, right? I can think of them as well. Like, for example, you know, a Muslim, not only just killing his wife, but beheading his wife. You know, like, these things catch headlines. Right? And not only is it wrong, of course, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, legally, of course, it's wrong as well, right? But things like that really stand out and they reinforce these stereotypes, right? Crying wolf, right? Making up stories, right? We have recently a case of a sister who was murdered outside of San Diego, right? Initially, everyone said, it's a hate crime, it's a hate crime, it's a hate crime, right? Now police are investigating. Perhaps it was a case of domestic violence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But the reason why this is possible is because this is not the first time. This is not the first time. A few months ago, there was a case in New Jersey, right? Where, same thing, in Ramadan, right? At night, husband and wife taking a walk outside with children, with young children, and there's a shooting, right? The wife is killed, the husband is shot in the leg, and he says, this was a hate crime. Right, because we were Muslim and we were walking, you know, people came and attacked us. What does it turn out? That no, it was a conspiracy. It was a conspiracy and the husband was the one who planned this. Right? So there you go, one strike right there. Hate crime, hate crime, hate crime. Turns out that it wasn't. Right? Then you have the case of a sister, a university student who wears hijab, she goes missing. Everyone's worried. She got abducted because she said there's a strange person nearby. Right? Everyone's looking, police, you know, helicopters, dogs, everything. You know, thousands of dollars being spent into the search. Turns out that no, she escaped, she ran away herself. Okay? And now, this is the third case. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I'm not passing judgment on this case. But when we do things like this, and especially when we make up an excuse and use a convenient, what we think is a convenient excuse, by blaming it on others and calling it a hate crime, this does no good for our community and for ourselves. We have the killing, the shootings in France, right? Again, the same thing comes up, right? Muslims, extremists, violent, and so on and so forth. So, you know, it's not to say that everyone is perfect, no one is perfect. But before we do or we say anything, we must consider the consequences. Take a deep breath, consider the consequences. Of course, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Because we are answerable for all of our deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us about every single little thing. He can question us about every single little thing that we do. Everything is recorded. So the consequences with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the consequences for the community. That what type of impact will this action of mine have on the community and where we live. So it's very important. So it's very important that we learn about our deen from authentic sources, right? So we know our beliefs properly. So that we learn about our deen from authentic sources, so we become confident in our faith and our practices, right? So what do we believe in as Muslims, right? Why are we doing the things that we do, or we believe that we have to do? We must know about these things. And before we do anything, we think twice first. Does that make sense? We think twice first. Okay, so before we do anything, we think twice first, and we make sure that what we're doing, you know, is, are we really in the right state of mind? Is this going to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What are the consequences of this? How will this be perceived? And so on and so forth. So that's the first thing, correct ourselves. Secondly, this is very important. Don't be ashamed to be a Muslim. Now, I've said this before, I'll say it again. This is very, very important. No one should feel ashamed to be a Muslim. Don't hide your identity, right? Don't be afraid of who you are. Being Muslim is not a crime yet. Okay, it's not illegal yet. Anyway, okay, inshallah it never will be. But it's not a crime yet, so don't act like a criminal if you aren't one. Okay? Don't act like a criminal when you are not a criminal. Okay, being a Muslim, practicing Islam, right, coming here for Jumu'ah on Good Friday, right, is not a crime. Right? So don't act like you're doing something wrong, don't act like you're a criminal. You have the right to believe in whatever you want to believe in. Right? The Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms guarantees that right. You have the right to practice your faith as you wish. Right? You have the complete right to do that, provided you don't deprive others of their rights and you don't hurt anyone. Okay, that's very important. Right? Because sometimes you can get a little too excited. Right? And if we start taking away, or if our actions start affecting the rights of others, depriving others of their rights, or if you start hurting someone, then this is wrong legally and Islamically as well. And because, you know, a lot of times, you know, we think that, okay, people are going to think like I'm weird, right? So when I went for Hajj, alhamdulillah, in 2008, and we had a stopover in Zurich, right? So we had to take a flight from Zurich to Jeddah. Now, there was supposed to, you remember that, right? There was supposed to, I have a brother here who was in our group, so. There was supposed to be a stopover in Riyadh for just 45 minutes, and I wasn't sure if you'll be allowed to get off the airplane or not. So the big decision I had to make was, do I put my ihram, because we're going to Mecca straight, right? Do I try to put it on in Riyadh when I'm not sure if I'll be able to get out of the airplane? Maybe, you know, try to put it on inside the little airplane bathroom and it's getting tighter and tighter for me as time goes on. Should I put it on in Zurich? Now, if I put it on in Zurich, I have to like change terminals, go through security and all this with the ihram on, and, you know, like everyone's gonna look at me. So I was like, oh, I don't know, I guess I'll just do it in Riyadh, right? Easy way out. Then it just so happened that I saw another brother who had his ihram on. He wasn't from our group, but he was also going from Toronto, and he had his ihram on, and I thought, okay, well, if he can do it, then why can't I do it, right? What is there to be ashamed of, right? I'm going to do Hajj. I'm putting on two simple, you know, sheets of cloth. And if somebody has a problem with that, well, too bad for them, right? So I went ahead and I put the ihram on. Alhamdulillah, everything went fine. It's pretty easy at security, right? Because you don't have any pockets, you don't have anything. Right? So they passed me right through. My wife got stopped, and she got searched properly. They let me through, alhamdulillah. So, you know, if you think that people are going to think you're weird or your faith is strange, don't let that bother you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Bada al-Islamu ghariban, wa sayaudu kama bada'a ghariban, fatuba lil-ghuraba." That Islam, you know, began as something foreign, something strange. Right? It was something very new for people. It was strange. It was foreign. It was alien. And it will become strange again, just like it was at the beginning. Right? So in the beginning of time, Islam was considered to be something foreign, something strange, something alien. Then of course, you know, there's a time and mashallah, you know, Islam spread around the world. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, it will become strange again, just like it was in the beginning. So blessed are glad tidings for the strangers. Right? Blessed are the strangers, glad tidings for the strangers. So if you feel like a stranger, right, or people think you're a stranger because you're a Muslim, that's all right. That's all right. That's how it's supposed to be, right? according to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And if people actually think that about you, then there's glad tidings for you, inshallah. Alright, so that's number two. Number three, speak up. Right, too often we remain silent. Too often we remain silent because we are either too lazy or scared, or we think that, oh, you know, with my few words, or with my presence at a rally, or because of, you know, my letter to the editor, there won't be any effect. Both approaches are incorrect or wrong. We have a responsibility to bring, to work towards positive change, right? And change with our hands, right? We have the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? That if you see something that's wrong, use your hands to change it. If you can't do that, use your tongue, or at the very least, consider it wrong in your heart. Now, it goes without saying, of course, that whatever you do, please make sure it's proper and it's legal. Don't do anything illegal. Speaking has its value as well, right? A lot of times we think, well, what are a few words? What's the value of a few words? Right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that afdalul jihadi kalimatu adlin 'inda sultanin jahil. Right? That the best struggle, the best jihad, is to speak a word of truth to a tyrant ruler. Now, of course, as I've said before, alhamdulillah, we're not living under a tyrant ruler. Well, I guess it depends how you see the government. But in any case, it's not as bad as it could be. And this hadith really applies. Really applies. You know, we were reading tafsir and we came across the story of Musa alayhi salam and the believer from the family of Fir'aun. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this person. There was a believer, hidden believer, in the family of Fir'aun, and when he heard that Fir'aun was planning to kill Musa alayhi salam, that was it. He spoke up, even in front of Fir'aun. And we know what Fir'aun was like. And he went on and on and on, right? I mean, if you look in a Mus'haf, if you look in the Qur'an, it's like a good page and a half, right, of things that he said. So really, you know, that is the true spirit of it. But it indicates to us that there is a value in speaking as well, right? There is some value in that. Words are not just words, and they're not just like worth nothing. So even if you're not able to reach the desired effect, don't worry about that, because the effect is not in our hands, right? Our job is to try our best. Our job as human beings is not to achieve the results. Yes, we want to achieve the results. We should try, we should aim for high results. But at the end of the day, our job is to try. And that is what we are accountable for. Did we try our best? Our job is to try our best and then leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try your best and leave for Allah the rest. All right. Okay. Number four. Reach out to whomever you can. Studies have shown, right? Proper studies, I'm not making this up, have shown that knowing a Muslim has a direct correlation with having a positive view of Islam and Muslims. Right? So the Pew Research Center study in the US found that the majority of people who knew Muslims had a favorable view of Muslims. And the majority of people who had unfavorable view of Muslims, guess what? Didn't know a Muslim. So to fight hate and to counter discrimination and make our community more acceptable, here we need to reach out to people. Right? We need to reach out to our coworkers, we need to reach out to our colleagues, to our neighbors, to politicians, anyone you can. Right? Reach out to them with kindness. Don't hide your faith. Deal with them according to the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, with kindness and mercy. You know, try to be friendly with your neighbors. Look out for them. And this is a major, major part of Islam. Right? Many people don't know about it. Many non-Muslims don't know about it. Even many Muslims don't know about it. Right? Taking care of your neighbor is a huge part of our faith. It's an enormous part of our faith. Right? To the point, right, where the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, right, the Prophet ﷺ said that, you know, Jibreel came and emphasized so much the rights of the neighbor, right, that I thought that that there's going to be a part of inheritance, right? That's how they perceived it, right? That's how important it was. Now, of course, that didn't actually happen, but the rights of the neighbors have been repeatedly emphasized, and there's no distinction between having a Muslim neighbor or non-Muslim neighbor. Right? And this is something we question about by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be a good neighbor, helpful in times of need, and not just next door neighbor beside your house or your apartment or your condo. Right? Neighbor is anyone who's beside you, even when you're driving. Right? The cars around you are your neighbors. Right? When you're at work, the person in the cubicles people in the cubicles around you are your neighbors. When you're in line at the supermarket, those people are your neighbors for those few minutes. So, you know, alhamdulillah, these efforts of trying to reach out continue in our city here in Kingston. You know, in a couple of weeks, there's a multi-faith event that's being held, and this masjid is taking part in that. You know, I have a whole list or a few, at least, presentations that have to be done this month at churches, presentations about Islam, presentations for government agencies, brothers and sisters at Queens and Kumsa held Islam Awareness Week, mashallah, with a lot of effort that went into it. So we must continue to do our part to counter hate, to counter ignorance, and leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ, that if anyone puts his trust in Allah, sufficient is Allah for him. Right? So, but of course, we need to take some action as well, right? We can't just sit on our couches and hope everything will be done for us. No. We need to move, we need to take action, concrete, practical, permissible, legal, wise actions, and then place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our efforts first of all, and will put barakah in them so that there's acceptance and there is a positive and desired effect, inshallah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help me first of all, and help all of us to act upon whatever I have said, to really, you know, become ambassadors of Islam wherever we go, and to be those who are not ashamed of their faith, those who can stand tall and say that yes, innani minal muslimin, that I am from the believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the Muslims, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is among the best of speech.